Chapter 1. He bravely turned his tail and fled.
"You wish to leave the sect?"
Senior Disciple Lu Zhu asked, repeating the disciple's request. He had to make sure that some trick was not being played on him. He stared at the young man before him, wearing the blue robes of an outer disciple of the Cloudy Sword sect. The boy had a black eye and his arm in a sling. Lu Zhu could see the telltale signs of wounds hidden behind his robes, and the boy was favoring one leg. Quite a pitiful sight, all told.
"Yes, senior brother," the disciple responded. "This Jin Zhou's abilities are lacking. I was defeated by disciples who were 2 years junior to me. I would leave before I bring greater shame upon our Cloudy Sword sect."
Lu Zhu sighed internally. It was natural for one who was older to be stronger, for they had been cultivating longer. But this had been a young master of the Cloudy Sword sect against an outer sect disciple. The battle would have had a foregone conclusion, even if the outer sect disciple was 100 years older than his opponent. And Jin Zhou was the weakest outer sect disciple currently within their halls, not even into the profound realm. Such a bout was deeply, deeply shameful. The honored founders spoke of the correct way to trade pointers, how to properly train your juniors instead of this brutalization. Lu Zhu wished he could have put a stop to it, but he had no authority over the young master. The inner and core disciples were beyond his purview. The senior disciple considered the brown-haired young man, the prominent freckles on his cheeks barely peeking out through the bruising on his face. He was tall, taller than most Lu Zhu had seen in his many years, and his body bore signs of hard physical labor rather than the sculpted body of a cultivator. Indeed, Jin Zhou was not powerful, but he was diligent and always willing to tend to the sect's less desirable tasks. He always reported for work details. Losing his attention to detail in caring for the compound and lowly spirit herbs would be a blow, although not one of any significance. The boy had no real training or knowledge of the techniques of the sect. If this was enough to crush his spirit, to abandon this life, then he was not meant to be a cultivator in the first place. The Cloudy Sword sect was no place for the weak of heart. At least he was polite enough to attend to the formalities instead of just disappearing. It was the first time in over 300 years that somebody had paid the exit fee. Disgruntled sect members normally just disappeared. Lu Zhu considered attempting to dissuade him from leaving, but he felt the certainty in the boy's actions and words. He was set on leaving, and nothing Lu Zhu could do or say would persuade him.
"What is your intent after leaving this place, disciple?" he asked out of idle curiosity.
"Perhaps I shall become a farmer, senior brother," the boy replied. "I had some luck in growing the lowly spiritual herbs, so such a thing should be within my minor talents."
Lu Zhu raised an eyebrow at the absurd statement. A mere farmer? From a boy who had, even barely, passed their sect's initiation? It would be a complete waste of talent. The devastating defeat must have completely demoralized him. How unfortunate. Lu Zhu sighed, not looking directly at the boy, and instead gazed out at the stark beauty of their mountain.
"I see. I shall mark down your leaving. From this day forward, you are no longer a disciple of the Cloudy Sword sect, Jin Zhou."
Jin Zhou bowed his head and clasped his fist in front of him, wincing as he moved his still broken arm.
"This Jin Zhou thanks you for your time and consideration. I shall darken the compound's halls no longer."
Lu Zhu stood and inclined his head. He gave the gesture of respect back to the boy.
"Then go into the world, Jin Zhou."
Lu Zhu looked at the boy's face, his solemn nod. He was going out into this world with nothing but the clothes upon his back and the small bag of items at his feet. Lu Zhu may not have been able to rebuke the inner sect disciple, but he could do this. He picked up the pouch of money Jin Zhou had given him and held it back out to the young man.
"Here, I shall mark it down as paid in full. Diligence and proper courtesy deserve a reward, and the sect does not need this sum."
It was probably all the money the boy had anyway. Lu Zhu did have some kindness in him, and Jin Zhou would need the luck of the heavens in his new life. Jin Zhou's eyes widened with shock.
Hesitantly, he reached out, like Lu Zhi was going to snatch the coin purse away from him. It fell into Jin Zhou's hands with a small clink. The young man bowed his head in gratitude.
May heaven be kind to you, Lu Zhi, he said, with a crooked little smile.
And then Jin Zhou was gone from the sect. I came to in the middle of getting my ass beat. From darkness and terror, I suddenly woke up, only to receive a fist to my jaw and a bunch of mocking laughter. Then I had gotten pulled to my feet and slapped around for another 20 minutes. My first experience in this world was a feeling of my ribs giving in, my arms shattering, and then passing out. Let me tell you, that was absolute horseshit. Jin Zhou was kind of an idiot for not getting out of the way in time when the little shit wanted to fuck somebody up, but at least he hadn't crippled me, or torn off an arm or something, just because the commoner was so beneath him, or whatever. A few of the other disciples were kind enough to drag my... Jin's? My twitching body back to my little room, then ransacked some of the herbs he'd grown as payment for their good deed. Dicks. It certainly didn't endear the place to me. It only really hit me that I was in magical Xianxia land while I was moaning in pain. Apparently, one of the chest shots had hit poor Jin Zhou hard enough, and in just the right way, to stop his heart and kill him. And before he'd even fallen over dead, I'd gotten shoved into his body. At least I'd gotten his memories of the language, along with how to actually use the remaining herbs to deal with the worst of the damage. It meant mashing and grinding the herbs, which was extremely painful with how many injuries I've got. Jin Zhou himself had been fairly respectable from what I could tell about him, from memories, I suppose. He was an orphan after his gramps disappeared, and he'd managed to join a sect through hard work. Kind of. His admittance had only happened because one of the instructors flipped a coin when deciding his fate, since he just barely squeaked past qualifying. The instructor had said something about heaven favoring him or something when he was inducted. Jin Zhou had wanted to become a powerful cultivator, a master among masters, and do whatever it is the dickbags who run this place did, which was presumably to be dicks, dickishly. I kinda didn't care about his motivations, his goals, or ideals. My body now, buddy. Sorry, not sorry. Dear old Jin Zhou had been a servant anyway, and had to do any task that the other people at the sect offloaded onto him, while he harbored vengeance and hate and angst against them for being entitled dickbags. I kind of got where he was coming from, but I wanted none of that shit. I shoved Jin Zhou's memories to the side so I couldn't see them, or have all his emotions rattling around my head. I declare any revenge fantasies and ambitions null and void. I wanted none of the little fuckboy who'd wasted my ass. Most importantly, I wanted nothing to do with the politics of this world because holy shit, there was way too much line extinguishing and murdering each other for face. You know, the usual. So I'd looked up the methods for leaving the sect when I was mobile the next day, grabbed one of Jin's hidden pouches of money, and went to the guy in charge of this kind of stuff to get the hell out of there. I wasn't expecting to get the money pouch back, but I was okay with losing that one. Jin Zhou was actually reasonably good at saving. He had been saving to purchase a few spiritual pills after picking up so many extra chores. What was his is now mine, and I'm using it to get the fuck out of here. Far away from all the sword formations and grand demonic dick punching or whatever the fuck these chuny bastards spout. Some might call me a coward. I'd say I have a healthy sense of self-preservation. What kind of moron would hang around the people who'd killed him? Why would I pal around in this wretched organization where I was little better than a servant? So I packed up and left. No real direction. All I knew is that I had to get out. I had to leave. I felt like I was drowning up here among the Spartan stone buildings, though that may have just been the fact that we're literally above the clouds. I had no idea how high up I was, but a flash of memory showed me a rising platform that was used specifically for the entrance exams. Right now, I would have to take the stairs. So I walked out of the main gate. Enormous slabs of stone the size of 10-story buildings and carved with depictions of the Cloudy Sword Sect's founders. The gate guard casually placed a single hand against a door and pushed what had to be hundreds of thousands of tons aside like it was easy. He gave me an appraising look, but otherwise ignored me as I left. I swallowed and started marching down the spiraling stairs, flanked on every side by solid gray stone and frost. It was bitterly cold, and I probably would have just died instantly if I wasn't a cultivator. Instead, it was merely horribly uncomfortable as I descended down from above the cloud, heading towards Crimson Crucible City, far, far below the Cloudy Sword Sect's lofty perch. My journey took me past the cloud barrier and away from the Stark Mountain. I marched down the seemingly endless flight of stairs into a forested path heavy with fog. I could feel the air getting thicker with every step I went down. Maybe it was the fact that there was more oxygen down here, but each step I could breathe easier. It took me 2 days of walking at a decent clip before I could even really see Crimson Crucible City, surrounded by waterfalls that would put Niagara to shame with their size, all flowing down into thousands of rivers. The sound was a dull roar that I thought had been distant wind at first. It was a spectacular, breathtaking sight. The other noticeable landmark was just as breathtaking, but also gave me the creeps just looking at. The Demon's Grave Ravine seemed to have a permanent shadow around it. The guard towers on the edges of it were bristling with defensive emplacements, ready to fight off the things that occasionally poured out. It really, really hammered home that I was someplace else, in addition to the enormous, sprawling, walled thing that was Crimson Crucible City. It was a place I knew nothing about, and I had no GPS or handy map app to guide me. But I did have the memories of somebody who'd lived there all his life. I took a break on a rock, just staring at everything, my view finally unobstructed by the clouds or the mist. I felt like hell. Sleeping on the forest floor and being plagued by nightmares, waking up with every little sound, it sucked. But I wasn't just going to lay down and quit. I took a deep breath, then pulled on the other guy's memories, trying to tease them from the metaphorical box I had shoved them into. I needed something concrete. Not just the sudden flashes of comprehension explaining what I was looking at, but detailed memories of the city he had grown up in. I immediately regretted it, as that was all the memories needed to flood into my mind. The feelings were intense. Recollections of gangs, sickness, and a demon assault. Love of his long-dead parents, and the times he had with Gramps learning how to cultivate. The shock of it all sent me to my knees, holding my head on a lonely mountain path. I shoved them all away from me. All of Joe's memories. The other guy. I shoved them back in their little box, spat the taste of bile from my mouth, and shook off the phantom pains. I really had no desire to stay in the city. There were too many memories. I needed someplace else. The city was safe enough if you knew which alleys not to go down. The memories of Joe thankfully did, but I couldn't live here. First, I needed information. Joe had lived his entire life in Crimson Crucible City and didn't know too much about the world outside it. Hopefully, I could find a nice, quiet place away from things, on the outskirts. Some place without a lot of fighting, if that was possible. And for that, I went to the library. Okay, it wasn't really a library, it was the archive, and you needed a pass for anything that wasn't common knowledge. But it was smack dab in the middle of town, and any citizen could make use of it. The technology level was that of perhaps the Iron Age, for the most part, but they also had things that didn't quite fit. A free library was one of them, and I think I saw some kind of mall, complete with advertisements. Just to hammer home that this was a place touched by the magic of chi, there was a bunch of glowing crystals about this part of the city. Some served as light bulbs, some emitted cool air, and still others spewed water into fountains. There was even a reception area. The clerk seemed a bit surprised at my questions, but he directed me to where I wanted to go. It was a collection of 20 five-story tall shelves, all packed with scrolls. I got to work, pulling a couple off. It was surprisingly quick work, and soon enough, I found my prize. The Azure Hills, little to no chi, weakest province in the Crimson Phoenix Empire, of limited value. Not a lot of chi meant few spirit beasts, and, more importantly, it meant barely any cultivators. I had my destination. It was kind of far away, and by kind of far away, I mean several days in a car on a highway. At least. And without any cars or planes,
and not really a lot of money to my name, I'd have to walk it. At least cultivators have good endurance, right?
I went back out into the city and got some supplies for the long road ahead. I glanced up once at the giant mountain where the sect was. I couldn't see anything. The sect and the cultivators above were hidden behind the clouds. With one last sigh, I left the city of Jinzhou's birth, marching north towards the Azure Hills, determination in my heart.
One dandan mian up!
I raised a hand, and the kid carrying my bowl of noodles put it in front of me. I was in a noodle shop in a gorge, splurging a little. I had been getting tired of the rations I had after 3 days, and decided to treat myself. Digging my chopsticks into the bowl, I slurped up the spicy noodles and looked around. It was pretty busy here, with lots of people laughing and joking. I felt the tension that had built up start to drain out of my shoulders as people just talked and laughed. Maybe this world wasn't quite as bad as I had been expecting. Aside from the place's location right beside a 100-story-tall waterfall, everything seemed pretty normal. Just as I thought that, the door burst open, and a man wearing gaudy red clothes stormed in, his eyes blazing with fury.
Tao Gui, you honorless bastard! You're courting death, he thundered as the rest of the patrons were silenced.
Another person, one wearing traveling clothes, stood up, brushing off his rice hat. He had a nasty, cocky smirk on his face.
Yuan Jun, you dare interrupt my meal. Kowtow 100 times before this daddy, and I'll let you off with a spanking. The hell? This daddy? What kind of speech pattern is that? I thought to myself.
I saw quite a few people make moves for the exit as the two men marched towards each other. Chi swirled around their bodies. Were they really about to have a fight in a noodle shop? Yuan Jun's fist pulled back, and I dove behind the counter with my noodles. I nodded to the owner, who was also behind the counter, and slurped my noodles as two men started to reenact a crappy kung fu movie, except oh so very real. We both flinched as wood smashed and people shouted. There was the sound of breaking bones, and a few flecks of blood splattered across the wall. There was a particularly loud crunch, and I reflexively caught a splinter more the size of a spear out of the air as it punched through the thick wooden counter. The three of us behind the counter stared at it, the owner and his son pale-faced. The kid rubbed a bit of blood off his nose. I hope this dude had a good insurance policy, because shit's fucked. There was another roar and a detonation of chi as the front half of the building disintegrated. I really, really wanted to be anywhere else right now. The trek so far had been mostly peaceful. The majority of the month had been just day after day of steady forward progress. Raging Waterfall Gorge was aptly named. There were thousands of waterfalls, spewing mist in the air, and the entire place was crisscrossed with bridges. There was a kind of sheer verticality to the land that was breathtaking. I wished I could stop and enjoy it, but fate had it out for my sorry ass. It was one thing to read about a rampaging monster attack. It's another thing entirely to be caught in one, as the trees snapped and a giant beastie hurtled after me. The earth-crushing devil serpent, what the fuck kind of name was that, roared with fury, smashing apart the road. People were screaming and crying and hollering. I just ran, my legs pumping as fast as I could make them, while I thanked whatever deity existed that the creature was kind of slow and I could outpace it even with the burden I was carrying. I had just grabbed the people closest to me when the ground started rumbling, and now they were screaming their heads off. I ran like the hounds of hell were after me, repeating a single mantra. The Azure Hills has none of this shit. The Azure Hills has none of this shit. Oh, God, I hope I live through this. Each day drove me onwards to my destination. Each reminder of the danger of this world made me go just that bit faster. I made, quite frankly, obscene time, my feet carrying me onwards far quicker and with more endurance than I'd thought possible. I wasn't sleeping too well, and sometimes I just wake up, pack up, and start walking, even in the middle of the night. I walked through the giant and breathtaking Howling Fang Mountains with barely a pause to admire them. The Azure Hills beckoned, the safest corner of the safest place, and then I wouldn't have to deal with anybody. There, I'd start a new life. I was going to be a farmer. I'd get a wagon, some rice, maybe a few chickens or something, and then live on my own, like a modern pioneer. Maybe I was building that idea up a bit too much in my head, but my thoughts and plans were a nice respite from the hell that was this world. It was a rainy, overcast day that matched my still sleep-deprived mood. But even with that, the Azure Hills looked less harsh than other places I'd seen. Gentle, rolling hills, flush with green grass. Coming out of the stark, howling Fang Mountains, it looked like paradise. I passed through the capital of the province, Pale Moon Lake City. Situated on a giant, perfectly round lake, the city was home to over 1 million people. It was considered small. I stopped briefly to use the archive in the city to find a good spot to settle. There were a few choices. The Grass Sea sounded appealing, but that was apparently where all the sects were, so I crossed that off the list. Blaze bear infestation were the words used to describe the ash forest. The area around Pale Moon Lake had millions of people, and nearly all the prime farmland was already taken. That only left one place, north, to where barely anybody lived. I tapped my finger on the map on top of a symbol that denoted a settlement. Verdant Hill sounded like a nice name for a town. I arrived at my new home in the middle of spring, pulling a covered wagon. It was a recent addition to my journey, and I had brought everything in it that I would need from the town a few days away. 3 months on the road, 3 months full of terror and nightmares, were finally at an end. I smiled down at my new plot of land. It was a few rolling hills, covered by a forest, and had a lovely little river winding through it. It was fantastically picturesque, as were most places in the Red Phoenix continent. It had taken me months to travel this far, but right now it was looking worth it. The town's magistrate considered the land mostly useless, as there were some minor monsters around, and it needed a lot of clearing, but hopefully nothing I couldn't handle. Joe knew how to throw a punch at least, and I had tested it out by putting my fist through a tree, which had honestly scared the crap out of me. The land had also been extremely cheap. I had gotten this place for a steal. 500 acres of land for less than a year of Joe's savings. Man, fuck property prices back home. This was where it's at. After I'd been told the price, I'd considered the possibility I had been screwed over and asked the locals about this place, but nope. No sleeping dragons or ancient curses, as far as anyone knew. Just out of the way and more trouble than it was worth. People rarely came up this way, since it was so far from the town and the surrounding villages. Nobody would bother me here. No spirit beasts, no cultivator fights, no nothing. I breathed in the fantastically clean and invigorating air and slowly let out the breath, my shoulders sagging as the tension finally bled out of them. Enough lazing around. I had some work to do. I reached into my packed wagon and grabbed my axe, causing my chickens to cluck in irritation at me, and the young rooster to crow at the sudden jostling, puffing up his red feathers. The large, sturdy cart was full to the brim with supplies and a few tools. Everything else would be made from scratch. I'd have to get creative, but for just one person, it would be enough. The rivers were full of fish, and the berry bushes should let me live off the land for a while, along with the rice seed, of course. I gave my chicken a little scratch under his developing wattles, and the little guy calmed a bit. Well, time to get to work. Operation No Cultivator Bullshit is a go. There would be no fights here, no mad scramble for resources, just me, a plot of land, and peace. There's a certain sort of zen you reach when you engage in heavy physical activity for long enough. My axe hewed through trees, my saw made planks, my hammer drove in nails, and my plane made things level, all fueled by the supernatural strength of a cultivator, even if I was an exceptionally weak one. It was surprisingly calming and invigorating at the same time, and I must confess I heartily enjoyed the heavy physical labor since I had the strength of 10 men. Fragments of memory guided one part, while my own experiences in the before, growing up on a farm, guided the other. My breathing was a perfect rhythm, and my chi circulated around inside me. I felt so at peace and refreshed. Also, being able to tear a stump out of the ground with nothing but brute strength would never get old. The first task, as always, was shelter. There was absolutely nothing here, so that was the priority project. A simple one-room affair that didn't take me too long to build with how strong I currently was. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it would keep the elements off me and the bugs at bay with its thatch roof and pounded dirt floor. Apparently, the survival classes I had before came in handy for this lifestyle, though wiping my ass with leaves was an annoying novelty. At least the river was right there. I'd built my shack right against my chicken coop, so I could hear if there were any predatory interlopers during the night. The foxes and the wolves had yet to notice my intrusion into their territory or the tasty treats that were clucking away, curious about their new home. I was proud of the little things I had built. I woke to the call of my rooster, who I had named Big D. An incredibly childish name, but it amused me greatly. My young lad would follow me around during the day, hopping around and often sitting on my shoulder. From his lofty perch, he proclaimed his dominance to the world, the cheeky shit. "Cock-a-doodle-doo," he'd screech. "You tell him, Big D," I'd reply. My hoe bit the earth and never dulled, reinforced as it was by my chi, and it tore into the ground with more speed than any ox could ever accomplish. My chickens eagerly followed behind me, pecking at bugs and plants I unearthed with my efforts, bucking and clucking all the way. "Yes, get good and fat, my pretties, and you will be delectable in the future." Even now, the thought makes my mouth water. Up and down went the hoe, up and down went the hoe, until I noticed something. A strange root poked out and had a vague sense of chi about it. Interested, I picked up the lumpy and nondescript tuber. In novels, this was where the protagonist would immediately identify the plant, spouting that it was some rare so-and-so root of six elixirs or something. But quite frankly, I had no clue what it was. I'd have to go to the town archive at some point, but considering it was here, it probably wasn't very rare or important. Shrugging, I put it into my house, then got back to work. After this field, which was going to be my vegetable garden, I'd start on the rice paddy. There were lots of rocks to clear out of the way, but they were no match for my mighty shovel. It sucks that I haven't been able to get any wheat yet, but what you gonna do? That night, I had an absolutely delicious egg-fried rice with Big D sitting on my shoulder. Maybe it was a little morbid to eat eggs right in front of your pet chicken, but he didn't seem to mind. There were eggs from my chickens, rice from the stuff I had brought to get myself set up, some sesame oil that I splurged on when I bought my land, and some of the leftover lowly spiritual herbs I had, liberated from the cloudy whatever sect. They tasted pretty damn good once I'd stir-fried them. A little spicy, a little sweet, a little savory. I would definitely have to grow more of them. They weren't that hard to grow, according to Joe's memories. I'd just have to baby them for a bit. Sure, I could convert them into pills, but I was extremely suspicious about all the pills these people choked back. I'm half convinced that every cultivator is so damn nuts because of all the drugs they did. I shook myself out of my introspection and tuned to the pleasing clucking sounds coming from my kitchen. Big D was eagerly pecking at the little nubs of spirit herb I had cut off that looked a bit wilted. They probably wouldn't kill him. They were supposed to be good for the body. If he likes them, he likes them. Not going to deny the little man his treat. I got ready for bed, with Big D jumping up onto the perch I'd made him by the window. Man, if I was still in the sect, I'd be doing shitty chores or sitting in a corner cultivating for months on end instead of actually making stuff. I smiled when I looked up at the grassy hills that led to the back of my new home, the sunset warming my body. Then I wandered into my house and collapsed on what I was charitably calling my bed. It was just a frame with some blankets on it, but it was mine, and I'd made it. I curled up and went to sleep, my mind already whirling with what I would do tomorrow. My eyes drifted shut. I didn't have any nightmares. It was nice being able to sleep through the night again, with a warm spring breeze caressing my face.